Welcome back to the America Pray Now podcast, a podcast for people of prayer. Today we will hear from the editor of the America Pray Now magazine, Cindy Little.
What a friend we have in Jesus. This is a hymn that ranks amongst the 10 best known and most beloved hymns of all time. It was penned by Irish-born Joseph Scriven. It was scripted out of two tragedies in his life. The first tragedy occurred the day before Joseph Scriven's first wedding. His promised bride was accidentally drowned. He plunged into deep sorrow that lasted for years. Sadly, the second tragedy occurred in a like scenario. Having fallen in love a second time, this time, the tragedy occurred 6 weeks before he was to be married when his soon-to-be bride developed the deadly bacterial disease of tuberculosis and died. No one can predict tragedies, but everyone can experience the presence of God in prayer. From his tragedies, Scriven came to experience the deep friendship of God because of his prayer life. Following is the first verse from What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Recently, I had the privilege of being part of an evangelistic campaign in Quito, Ecuador. I was with Campaign for Christ International. Their mission is to preach the gospel, praise the Lord, and to help the sick. I was working in the clinic as a triage nurse when asked to come and pray for a woman who was suicidal. I was also told she was demon-possessed. However, a demon never manifested during our prayer time together. And so now I want to share those events with you. And for privacy reasons, I have changed the names of those individuals involved. A sister from the House of God Church, named Abigail, had been praying for this woman. This woman's name was Martha. Abigail had asked the assistance from the pastor, and he told Abigail to ask for me. I was to come where she was praying for Martha. When Nancy, my translator, and I arrived where Abigail had been praying for Martha, we were told Martha's husband, whose name was Zarin, was in a separate room. As a child, Martha had been sexually abused by her father, abandoned and rejected by her parents. She was angry about everything, including her husband, for his abuse. Martha stated she could hardly look at him. I had also been told that Martha had tried to strangle a couple of people. Her husband, Zarin, had been verbally and physically abusive. This was a dreadful situation. We started to pray. I began to explain to Martha how forgiveness sets us free and heals us, but that salvation is the starting point. Martha stated to me that she was saved. Hence, I started to share with her about forgiveness and the importance of forgiving her father. In my mind, I was thinking, would Martha be willing to forgive her father? I explained that if she needed help to formulate words necessary to forgive her father, I would assist her with the needed words to pray. There was no hesitancy. Martha said yes. Yes to needing assistance to formulate a forgiving prayer, but also, yes, to forgive her father. I further explained that the Holy Spirit would help her to forgive her father. These were tearful moments, but ones that started Martha on her journey with inner healing. We prayed intently. After we had prayed, I asked Abigail to anoint Martha with oil, and we prayed again. Then, her husband, Zaran, came into the room. When Zaran saw the four of us together, his appearance looked a little sheepish. I believe a spirit of godly fear took over his heart. What had preceded his coming to the room where we were praying is that he had been talking to the pastor. Thus, God was already at work. The pastor told Zaran he was to repent of everything. However, I didn't come to know any of this until several hours later. I told Zaran that Abigail, Nancy, and I had been praying for his wife. He nodded. Without hesitation, I boldly told him we all knew of their marital circumstances and how he had been treating his wife. He said nothing. I proceeded to share with Zaran what I had told Martha, how forgiveness is freeing and heals the wounds of our hearts. Further, I explained in detail that God wanted to restore and heal their marriage and that his wife needed continued healing. But he would need to seek her forgiveness for not being the kind of husband God wanted him to be for her. My thoughts immediately returned to Martha. Would Zaran be willing to ask for forgiveness, just as Martha had forgiven her father? I didn't know. There was no pushback from Zaran at all. I then guided Zaran and Martha to stand and look at each other face to face, because Zaran needed to repent to Martha, and Martha needed to look into the eyes of her husband to witness genuine repentance. Zaran began. He repented again and again. Tears started to flow freely. God was doing a new work of restoring their lives and their marriage. Zaran expressed multiple times that he truly loved Martha. It was simply beautiful to witness the Lord working in their hearts. When Zaran was done repenting, we thanked God, we praised him for the power of forgiveness and that freedom had begun. Abigail anointed Zaran with oil, and we prayed one more time. I then had Zaran and Martha hold hands and look at each other face to face once again. This time, though, it was Martha's turn. I asked Martha to receive and tell Zaran that she had forgiven him. She was to tell him that she received his repentance and that he needed her forgiveness for his healing, too. Another layer of the painful onion skin was being rolled back. To God be the glory. God was doing more healing in Martha's heart as she was opening her heart to her husband Zaran. It had been closed off. She had been angry and unforgiving. Understandable considering her overall pain, we each prayed once more. I then invited Zaran and Martha to church the next day, and I then emphasized how reading the Bible and praying together would strengthen their marriage. In the end, Zaran had his arm around Martha. It was obvious God was doing some real healing. The next day was Sunday, and Zaran and Martha had come to church. when the invitation to receive Christ or rededicate one's life to Christ was offered, Zarin and Martha went forward. Both rededicated their lives to the Lord. They stayed at the altar to seek more healing prayer for their marriage and family, but also for Zarin's eye and Martha's emotional healing. I had the privilege of praying with them one more time. At the end of the service, Zarin and Martha walked up to me, hugged and thanked me for praying with them. I thanked them and hugged both of them as well. What had once been a flat affect, a visible, emotionless appearance on Martha's face, was now replaced with a smile. The Lord had clearly delivered her from some deep-seated anger and dark suicidal thoughts. And now their marriage was at a place of new beginning because the Lord was the head of each of their lives. Healing is a miracle to witness, and while prayer is a mystery, it is an open expression of our faith. Each prayer we pray should cause us to appeal for even greater faith. In the book, A Praying Life, the author, Paul Miller, states, "Something mysterious happens in the hidden contours of our lives when we pray. If we try to figure it out, the mystery of prayer, it will elude us." In other words, if we attempt to theorize how prayer works, we can miss the most important thing about prayer. The most precious things we experience in prayer is the presence of the Lord. We cannot prove or observe His presence, yet we know as surely as the sun and the moon exist, we know this to be true. Some place God in a box and say, "This is how God works in prayer," when in truth, God is outside that box. The mere shallowness of our understanding of how prayer works should move us to seek to have a greater faith and a greater prayer life. So how do we gain a greater faith because of prayer? First, it's necessary to spend uninterrupted time in God's Word. Second, we need to be intentional and have a consistent daily time in that secret place of quiet prayer. Prayer moves God's heart. Thirdly, meditate on what you read in His Word. If you don't do this already, ask the Lord to help you formulate prayers from what you've read that day. You will find that your prayers will be more meaningful and your life more purposeful as a result. In prayer, we draw close to Him because He loves to draw close to you and me. He speaks, and it is in prayer where He transforms us into His likeness. Prayer is the course of the blessed transformation that takes place in each one of our hearts. It is what He did for Zarin and Martha. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 14 to 29, we encounter Jesus and a father's plea to deliver his son from demons. The father asked for faith he did not have. He cried out to Jesus, "Help my unbelief!" Jesus did exactly what that father asked. His son was delivered from demons, and the father received greater faith to overcome his unbelief. May we take our weaknesses to Jesus, who delights to free us from our sins, deliver us from any source of evil, heal and make us new, restore our lives and our families, our state, and even our nation. Because we pray, He changes us from the inside out. I encourage you to ask for a greater faith. seek and knock on heaven's door. It is there that our prayers transform our lives and those we pray for. It is what Jesus did for the Father with his demonized son, and he did for Zarin and Martha and in their lives and in their marriage as well. As I close, I have formulated the last two verses of Scriven's What a Friend We Have in Jesus into a practical but ardent prayer for all who are listening. These are what the verses say as I formulated them into a prayer. Lord, some of us have trials and temptations. We feel there's trouble everywhere. Some may be discouraged, so Lord, we take our needs to you in prayer. We know in you we have a friend named Jesus, how faithful he is to us. In our sorrows he shares because he knows our every weakness and we can take these things to him in prayer. Sometimes, Lord, we are weak and heavy laden, cumbered with loads of care. Oh, precious Jesus, you are our refuge. We bring ourselves to you in prayer. Many of us have friends or family members, neighbors, maybe co-workers or others we know, who despise and forsake us. We bring them to you as well, Lord, in prayer. Thank you that in your arms you take and shield us. We have found your solace in your presence through prayer. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the America Pray Now podcast. If you have enjoyed these podcasts, we also publish a magazine on prayer that is free of charge and can be delivered directly to your home. You can sign up for this magazine on our website at americapraynow.com. In addition to our weekly podcast, we also meet in 16 different cities every month to pray in person. Most of our in-person prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also have meetings in Maryland, West Virginia, Delaware, and North Carolina. Please see our websites for times and dates. Until next time, may God bless you.